Yeah, thank you, everybody. I'm Bob. I'm an addict. Good to see you all here. I just came from another meeting, so I'm ready to go. So, this is a little bit spontaneous, a spur of the moment thing for me, but I have shared in this meeting before. So, I'm just gonna go with it. Like I said, I haven't listened. I don't really like to listen to my own voice, like on tape or whatever. So I haven't listened to the one I did before, but it actually will be interesting, I think, to listen to that and see how it compares. Because I think I did that one when I had about a year and a half, or maybe 2 years clean. And like I was saying before, in the other meeting, I celebrated 4 years 8 days ago. Some of the people in this meeting were here for the very beginning of that. That was really nice. And it's funny because 4 years is not a super long time, and I still feel like a newcomer in many ways. It still feels very new to me, the kind of possibilities that we have in recovery, right? Like the chance that we have to do things differently and to li live a different kind of life. For me, so I guess I'll just get started with my story just a little bit. I grew up in a very kind of working class traditionalist kind of conservative, you might say, area of the country, and I never felt like I fit in. You know, it was very macho culture. I have never been a macho guy. I was always kind of sensitive. I liked to read. Those were things that were. That were anathema to people there. Or, I mean, I guess, I had some friends who were kind of the same as me, but the general culture was just, for whatever reason, I just didn't fit in, right? Like, I always felt like a sore thumb, and I always thought, like, I got to get out of here and do something else. And so I did. I went to college, I went to school in a different town, and I started to kind of develop, my love of books, literature, and things like that. And one of the things that came with that is, I started to idolize all these guys who were like broken down drug addicts, right? Like literary drug addicts. Those were my people, and that was kind of who I wanted to emulate. And that was part of my story. In some ways, sometimes you hear from people in a meeting, and their lives are just fucking terrible, right? Like they just like everything bad that could possibly happened to them as a kid or whatever. And you just think, God, like it's no wonder that person's a drug addict, right? Like, I would be too if I was like that. But my story isn't really like that. Like I said, I didn't feel like I fit in when I was growing up or whatever, but my life has not really been that hard, right? Like it really, in some ways, I almost feel like, it's like I had the option to go down the other path, but I was like, yeah, that one looks good. That one looks exciting, or that one looks like it's going to get me where I want to go. So in a way, I knew what I was getting into a bit. I didn't know the full story, but yeah, I knew I was kind of heading in that direction, and I thought it was cool. I thought that was great. I think that's one of the big problems that we have as addicts is that, we often do the wrong thing and we convince ourselves it's the right thing, right? Like that's how the addict mind works. We justify it. And that's what I did, So anyway, I wound up so I so you know I started drinking and stuff in high school or whatever, kind of experimenting. But it wasn't until I got, into my early 20s, mid-20s, that I really started to that I really started to develop a drug habit, right? Like, so for me, I came out to Seattle. I was living on my own, a bunch of other young people, and it's just easy to get drugs out here, right? Compared to where I was coming from. I was like, here's the motivation and here's the opportunity. And so I just went into it, and it wasn't like it ramped up for me. It was like, I jumped in with both feet, and I was gone. And so, I guess I discovered about myself that I guess I'd always been like this, but it became clear to me at this point that, I just if there's a way that I can escape from the situation that I'm in and go somewhere else, I'm doing it, you know. And it doesn't even matter. Like I would frequently think, like, you know, on day three of a drug binge or whatever, you know, like I don't like this is not even how I want to feel. Like the drug that I'm about to take is not even how I want to feel. Like I do not want to be hallucinating at 3 a.m. right now. But it was just like, if I have the option of not feeling like I am now, I gotta take it. Like I gotta go for it. And it was just this compulsion. You know, it really was just a compulsion with me to just take things. Like not even necessarily, you know, I liked the way they made me feel, but it wasn't even necessarily that. It was just like, I mean, I think I don't need to describe it. It would be very difficult to describe it because yeah, it's just this, it's strange. It almost feels like you're just getting pulled. You know, I just felt like I was just getting pulled along into this and things getting more and more serious. And they did pretty quickly. So, you know, I got involved with selling drugs. You know, that was another way for me to feel like I was cool, feel like I had friends, right? I was talking about this in the previous meeting. You know, for the first time in my life, people thought I was cool. People thought I was the man, right? And you know, it wasn't until all those people abandoned me when I stopped having drugs that I realized, like, wow, they didn't really think that at all, right? Like they were just kind of hanging out and doing my drugs. But you know, I started to have these experiences that were very validating. You know, like I really felt like I was this you know, interesting person, and I was creative, and I was you know, surrounded by these other, you know, like just I was living the life that I thought I wanted to live, you know. And it wasn't and it only took a couple of years for things to go really, really south. Maybe a year and a half into all of that, I started to experience, you know, some of the kind of classic bottom signs, right? Like I started crashing cars, I lost my job. I had a guy, one of my buddies, right? Like one of my friends, this street guy broke into my house and, you know, just ransacked the place and took all the money and my drugs and guns and just everything, right? And so, you know, I just started to have these experiences. And you know, I just at that point, 2009 it was, I just kind of spun out. And you know, I kind of came to, like, as if, you know, like, so, you know, you're on a shipwreck, you wash up on shore, and suddenly you're on the beach and you're like, well, how did I get here, right? And so I'm lying on the shore staring at the sky. I'm $30,000 in debt. My credit cards. I don't have a job. I don't have any money to pay the rent. You know, just all of that stuff. And the debt collectors are calling. They're calling my parents. My parents are all upset. Yes, it was not good. And at that time, I actually thought, like, oh, maybe I should go to like an NA meeting or something, right? Like, seems like that might be a good idea. But the thing that kept me out was it wasn't even the God thing, right? Like you'd think, like, oh, you know, I'm a non-believer, but it wasn't even the God thing. Like I was over that. But it was I didn't want to do the ninth step. Like I didn't want to admit that I was wrong and tell people I was sorry, right? Like that was the one thing I could not do. I could not hack it. So you know, I was gonna quit drugs. I actually, you know, I had maybe 2 weeks sober, which was like most amount of time I'd had in years. And you know, then I was like, well, it's good. I'm gonna get back into it. And, for a long time after that, I actually was able to use drugs. You know, I could hold down a job for a couple of years until I'd get mad or, you know, I'd quit or whatever. Find some excuse to leave. I could have a relationship with a woman for not quite that long. You know, I'm not that good of a liar, so you know, it's harder to co cover that up when you're with somebody you're seeing every day. But you know, I could be in a relationship for a year or so, right, before they found out, or before I just got so tired of lying that I would just break things off, right? So I went through, you know, I lived like this for like a decade, right? Like this very getting into these like abortative relationships or jobs or whatever, and kind of falling out, and you know, just Yeah, I was still I was taking drugs, you know, every day, but I w really wasn't partying until the weekends, right? And so, you know, I did that for a long time, and I probably could have gone on for longer, to be honest. You know, around so during the pandemic, you know, when everybody was doing their day drinking or whatever, I'd felt for a long time, you know, I'd always had kind of creative ambitions, right? I kind of wanted to be like those junkie writers or whatever. And I realized like I was not doing anything, right? Like I was just kind of going to my job and getting wasted and recovering from getting wasted, and that was my life. And I wasn't moving forward, I wasn't learning anything. That was it. And so that was really what got me thinking again. And I'd gotten into this relationship with my current partner, and you know, I'd said, I'm not gonna lie in this one. Like, I'm just gonna straight up tell her, like, you know, I do drugs. That's a problem for you. You gotta go. And I don't know why she stayed, but she did. And I started to just say, okay, I'm gonna be honest. So I'm just gonna tell her. You know, I'm just gonna tell her whenever I'm doing drugs. And so then, like, I started to do this, and like I would hear it come out of my own mouth, and I'd be like, wow, that's really fucked up. Like, I can't believe I'm doing this. So that was part of it. And then, you know, I arrived at this point where I was just really upset with myself. I was really dissatisfied with my life. I was really unhappy. And I started making noise about like, eh, I want to reduce my drug use. You know, I want to reduce my that cocaine was my main thing, right? So I want to do less coke. And so my partner was like, well, why don't you quit drinking? Because I think if you quit, if you, because whenever you drink, if you, if the second you have you know, you finish the second beer and you're like, let's do coke. So maybe if you quit drinking, which I know you don't like as much, you would do less coke. So that actually, so that turned out to be true, but it wasn't as much less as I thought it was going. And so I was kind of in this stasis, right, where I was like, I was starting to quit things, but I wasn't really, you know, fully ready or whatever. And, you know, pandemic hits and everybody's, you know, things are all scrambled and everybody's doing, living a different life, right? And it just seemed like I just had this feeling. Well, I've been thinking a lot about my life and how, you know, drug use had become kind of a defense mechanism. And you know, it was just like I never accomplished anything because I could just get high and pretend I had accomplished things and feel like I was doing great, feel awesome. And so I never had to do anything to make myself justify that feeling. And I was like, you know what? Like, it's now or never, right? Like, I just had this feeling like this is the window. You know, sometimes in NA, at least they say like, you know, when the window opens, you have to go through because it'll close. And you don't know when it's going to open again. And it's like, why is everybody going through the window? Like, why can't you just go through the door? I guess that doesn't make any sense for addicts. But yeah, so if you're going to go through the window, you got to go through when it's open. And I just had this feeling, you know, it's been a long time since I could really trust my intuition, because my intuition always told me that don't worry about it, just get high. But I had this feeling like this is my moment. You know, if I'm going to do this, I have to do it now. I guess maybe because, you know, social situations make me upset or nervous or whatever, and I want to use. And so, you know, so pandemic was perfect for me, right? Like I just stay home, and I didn't have to use because I didn't have to be around anybody, scare me or whatever. So yeah, I started. I went to my first NA meeting on September 21st, 2020, and my first completely sober day was September 22nd, 2020. And yeah, you know, I mean, I really, one of the things I really appreciate about recovery is I just, you know, it's just, they say more will be revealed, right? And so, like, every, you know, I could break down these past 4 years and in any number of different like segments, right? Where it's like at this point in my recovery, I was kind of thinking about this and I was kind of feeling this and I was kind of doing this. And then at the next point, there was something different, right? And yeah, you know, I mean, I think Again, it hasn't even been that long of a time, but I just feel like it's been feels like a million years, right? Like it just feels like there's I've made so much. I don't want to say progress, because I don't know if you ever really make progress on yourself, but I've just learned so much about myself, and I've changed. And I've learned enough to realize how much I haven't changed, right? And things that I want to do. I was saying in the previous meeting, you know, like so the psychologist Carl Jung said this thing about old age where, you know, he said that you do things a certain way in the first half of your life because you're a certain kind of person, and then when you reach the second half, you do everything completely different, and that way there's two the two halves become a whole. It's a whole person, and I'm 46, so hopefully, like, you know, I'm about halfway through. Right, like hopefully not quite, but you know, I'm pretty close. And so yeah, like I just feel like, you know, now is the time when I get to do all the stuff that I was too afraid or too fucked up or whatever that I didn't have a chance to do when I was younger. And so as an example, what I was saying is in the previous meeting is that you know, I've always been you could probably guess I'm the kind of guy that's always been pretty much in my own head, right? And one of the things I'm doing now is like I'm trying to get into my body a little bit. So we've been taking these, me and my partner have been taking these swing dance lessons, and it's ridiculous, man. Like I've always known that I've never been good at anything that requires balance or coordination or whatever. Like that's just never been me. But you know, so my previous the solution to that previously when I was using was well, I'll just never do it, right? Because you know, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want people looking at me. I don't want blah blah blah. And then, you know, the excuse becomes its own justification because like, now I'm too high to do it. I couldn't do it anyway because now I'm too fucked up. And so that becomes like this defense. And so yeah, you know, I mean, I'm so bad at this, man. I'm just like, I mean, you wouldn't even believe it. It's just terrible, but it's fun. You know, I mean, it really is you know, I'm learning something. You know, I'm learning something about myself, and I'm learning to do something. Same thing with so when I first got into recovery, one of the first gifts that I gave to myself was I started taking I got this app that teaches you how to play piano, right? And again, this is another one of those things where I remember when I was about 22, I thought to myself, man, I really wish I could play piano, but if you want to be good at piano, you have to start when you're like three. So I you know, there's just no point in starting now, right? And so I started playing piano when I was, you know, 43 or 40, 42, I guess. And you know, if I had started when I was 22, I would have 20 years of experience right now. And so you know, it's crazy. But when I'm 62, I'll have 20 years then, you know. And so that's one of the things that, yeah, for me, that's what recovery is really, you know, at this point anyway. It'll probably change at some point, but you know, there's just so, some of us have a lot of karma to work through or whatever, and things remain difficult. And you know, that's true for me. You know, I still struggle with a lot of stuff, and the kind of base causes that the feelings and emotions and stuff that caused my addiction are still there, you know, and I still struggle with that. And it actually, you know, a lot of the times I'll be kind of down on myself or thinking about something, and I'll just realize it and be like, wow, yeah, like that's like those kind of feelings are, I mean, they're so overwhelming. It's like no wonder that I was always doing drugs, right? Like I was just trying to get out of that. So yeah, I still have that, but yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just optimistic, right? Like this path that I'm on has been very good to me. And yeah, I don't, you know, it's like there's no drug experience that I had, even at the beginning, even when things were fun, that would be enough for me to give this up, right? Like, and again, it's just that intuition thing. Like, it's not even the very quantifiable benefits that I have in my life right now. It's just that feeling that like I know what I'm doing is right for me right now, and so I'm going to keep doing it. I think I've probably talked long enough. So I'll open it up for everybody else. But thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to me. Really appreciate it.